right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley on a non-freezing day here around the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. We're sponsored by Robin Lewison and Healthmark Enterprises. Fantastic show today. Lots to talk about. Robin has a phenomenal guest who's no stranger to the broadcast. Happy to have him on. Robin, if you will, tell us who our guest is today.
Our guest is Chris Fox of Gross & Kenny. And Chris is the latest and greatest addition to Gross & Kenny. And I've had the pleasure of working with him for now 2 years, Chris.
Yep.
And I think Chris is the three C's.
Go ahead.
Calm, cool, collective.
All right.
Everything you want with a workers' comp attorney.
How about that? There you go, Chris. There's some praise for you. But I do have a nice knowledge of Chris and the great job he does. Welcome to the broadcast, Chris.
Thanks for having me back. And Robin, as soon as we finish, can you give my wife a call and pass that?
What's her name?
Boom.
Send me your cell phone number.
I don't know that she would share the same adjectives in describing
well,
me.
Well, everybody's different at work than they are at home.
But by the way, that's the same problem,
but
Chris.
For me and my staff, he's the three C's.
That's awesome.
I know.
Well, it is. So, Chris, like we said before, the broadcast certainly has been, you were on the broadcast when you first started with Gross & Kenny and our great friend Jeff Gross, and Pat's also been on the broadcast, Pat Kenny. But it was pre-COVID. And certainly, man, things have changed. Like, there's no tomorrow. but the beauty of it is, in your area of the law, as Robin said a little while ago, before we started, workers' comp has been able to adjust and almost not skip a beat. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yep, absolutely. And before we came on air, we were talking about the last time I was here. I think it was June or July of 2019, which really does feel like a lifetime ago at this point.
Oh, my God.
We've all been through
the mill.
You know, with the warm weather today, get a little optimistic that, you know, with the vaccination being dispersed, hopefully we could be turning the corner. Warm weather, come out of this winter on the up and up. But it certainly has been a long year.
Yeah.
Going back to mid-March, I remember when we got the initial announcement that we were shutting everything down for 2 weeks, and then In our busy practices, we couldn't fathom the fact that we were getting an unannounced, unexpected 2-week vacation almost right out of the blue. And that felt like it was going to be a long 2 weeks. If someone told me then that we would be coming up on the 1-year anniversary of that initial shutdown, so to speak.
I mean, who could even imagine it and fathom that we'd be going through all this? And at the same time, as attorneys and representing clients, you've got to scramble. How important was communication during that time? Once the firm was able to kind of group and okay, say, listen, obviously, you know, we're going to be representing our clients, and you know, we're adjusting to be able to make sure that, you know, we don't skip a beat. But how important was it, you know, communicating with clients, because they're in bad ways in the first place. Now all of a sudden they're scared. How important was that?
Absolutely. And I think from my perspective, it's important to note two things that were made clear to me early on. The first came from within our firm. Our firm leadership, Jeff Gross and Patrick Kenny, made it clear. We're fortunate that we're a small unit, four attorneys, four staff, that we're able to operate with a team approach, with really good communication. But early on in the pandemic, when layoffs were coming left and right. Jeff made it clear to attorneys, staff, your job's going to be here. We're going to get through this, which, not knowing whether it was going to be 2 weeks or 2 years, that was good to know, because obviously our job is really a position where we're taking other people's troubles on our shoulders and trying to bear those. And knowing right out of the gate from within our own firm that our positions were secure, Our roles were secure. That just gives you the foundation you need mentally to push through, which we really need to have that strong base for our clients.
Robin?
Well, I remember the date. It was March 13th, and wow. I got a phone call from Jeff Gross, and he said, suggestions? And I said, we continue as usual. I said, my staff is totally remote, which I think he was happy with. We were totally set up, and I sent them home with computers, phones, and chairs. And we didn't really miss a beat, other than we really had to figure out how to conference call. I mean, so don't forget, our main phone line is in Center City. So when a client calls, it goes to that. Then it's transferred to a remote cell phone. And then if they want to talk to both of us, if they want to talk to me or they want to talk to another coordinator, we then have to transfer. So, I mean, I think the clients are okay with it. It's a process, but we were good to go. Some of the doctors shut down, but for the most part, they rallied. I think the biggest thing was answering everybody's calls and just trying to reassure people that it was going to be okay. I mean, that was before people tested positive for COVID. Now we're in a huge phase where a lot of our clients have gotten COVID, Chris, right?
Yeah. What's interesting about that is things like Robin, you talk about answering the phones, right? I mean, even the things that you would take for granted, okay, especially in work comp, you guys adjusted like world champions. You know, you're doing things remotely. You got Zoom conferences, depositions, all those things. But answering phones, how about this one? Just going to a lunch meeting.
Oh,
like, how impossible is that?
But, you know, aside, forget the lunches, forget the dinners. I think the biggest problem for me was getting the phone situated, because clients don't want to hear that we're acting remotely.
Yeah.
I mean, the work comp, the trials and the, they were able to just, work remotely. So we had to figure out with voicemails and getting back to people. And I mean, it was a lot. Getting reports when doctor's offices weren't open. That was
And then look at when you're working remotely, and we're going to go to break in about 2 minutes, but people's family situations with kids. And Chris, we talked, as an athlete and yourself and somebody who also, coaches the kids and all those things. Having the kids, I can only imagine what school's like and the issues that kids, and Robin, we've talked about this, on air plenty of times. But you adjust your life professionally, but now, you've got the kids who are now homeschooling remotely, doing gym class at home. My nephew's doing push-ups on the ground. I'm like, what's he doing? Well, and then I realized he's on a Zoom class.
Yeah, well, I try and do Zoom meetings, and my dog is notorious for wanting something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like he knows. She's on Zoom.
We were doing talk radio shows, and, and Robin, you and I have done.
Oh, you texted me once, and you're like, what's happening? And I'm like, you don't want to know.
Oh, yeah.
I had to put you on mute.
Well, even... So people, guests on the shows. So you got three or four people on the line, and one of them's doing the dishes while you're doing it. I don't know, but the point is, little adjustments. I find it amazing, Chris, that as work comp attorney and at the firm, you're able to move mountains, like literally move mountains to make sure. That because you deal with judges, you don't deal with jury trials, which is great. And so you're able to really do a great job for your clients. But the simplicity of a phone call and keeping the client in the know. I mean, that had to be, I've talked to Jeff. That had to be like priority number one, making sure they're comfortable.
Yep, absolutely. And I echo what Robin said. I mean, obviously we had to pivot quickly go to a phone, email, and text message model that eliminated that in-person touch, which obviously for doctors and patients is an important element, and for lawyers and their clients, an equally important element that was kind of abruptly taken away from us.
Yeah, and family situations that have been obviously adjusted.
I think the mental health issue is paramount as well. Not just, Chris, with our clients, but I'm seeing it with doctors and staff. I'm seeing it with friends and family, but mental health, the whole pandemic has caused, they haven't termed it yet, but they.
I mean, I've seen stuff with
COVID-induced depression.
Well, kids just trying to get educated, sitting in front of a computer for 6-7 hours, yeah. And I mean the issues. Really smart kids that are trying to adjust to that. It's been so impactful. We're going to have more from the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show after the break.
Suffering a work injury or any type of personal injury can be a painful and traumatic experience. What can make it even more difficult for a patient is trying to navigate and find the quality medical care they need for their particular injury. Healthmark Enterprises is a full-service medical coordination and marketing company started in 1994 by CEO Robin Lewison that takes all the worry and complications out of treatment for a work or personal injury. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with a top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with the top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients, Healthmark Enterprises handles the entire treatment process for injured workers and those suffering personal injuries so they can just concentrate on getting better. Healthmark Enterprises believes that being injured should not limit one's access to great medical care. Now, more than ever, an injured person needs an advocate on their side. Contact Healthmark Enterprises at 215-563-1315. That's 215-563-1315. Healthmark Enterprises. Pinnacle Medical Plus is a full-service urine toxicology and durable medical equipment company serving patients throughout the continental United States. With over 25 years of industry experience, the professionals at Pinnacle Medical Plus provide high-quality services and products combined with excellent service at a reasonable price. On the urine toxicology side, Pinnacle is a trusted partner that provides the most up-to-date therapeutic drug monitoring technology. On the DME side, Pinnacle offers an extensive list of premium products along with priority delivery services. At Pinnacle Medical Plus, their number one goal is making sure their customers and patients receive the quality care and services they deserve. Contact Pinnacle Medical Plus for all of your urine toxicology and durable medical equipment needs at 888-396-8644 or online at www.pinnaclemedicalplus.com.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car. Which, if you're buzzed, could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
They just told us right away that we're gonna house you, we're gonna feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. We're sponsored by Robin Lewison and Healthmark Enterprises. Robin's guest is Chris Fox of Gross Kenny. Little shout out to a good friend of mine, Jason Kapenitz, who's taking care of my he's doing my house right now, making sure that he's putting my windows in. He's with Anderson Window. Shout out to Logan Kapenitz and Dylan Kapenitz, two great soccer players. And Chris, you're a Penn State football guy. Logan is a kicker. And heard he's doing incredibly well, so we're gonna be hearing about these two guys soon. So, we're talking during COVID. You've got kids, you said that a couple of them are in Catholic school or they haven't skipped a beat. They're
yeah. So I have two middle school age sons in Catholic school, and then I have a daughter who's a freshman at our local public school. So we've had a little bit of both. The boys went back full time in September, and my daughter is currently hybrid. So she's in school Mondays and Tuesdays and then remote Wednesday through Friday, which it's been interesting because there have been some bumps and bruises along the way with the Catholic school, but it's continued to run not necessarily as normal. A lot of the things that are big social aspects, like the recess is different, lunch is different, no sanctioned CYO sports, things like that. Crazy. So a lot of the social components of school have been taken away, but they've been able to, from an academic standpoint, try to stay on point.
And that, to me, is the social part of it is Robin, you mentioned so many emotional issues, even with adults.
But I see it every day. I see it with our clients. Mm-hmm. I see it with the doctors who have been working nonstop doing telemed, and they're working late into the night because they can only have two people in their waiting room at a time. So, I've been working around the clock. My doctors have been working around the clock. I mean, all hours, and and sometimes on the weekends.
I mean, your kids play sports, right, Chris? Yep. How did they have this? By the way, Robert, I'm not sure if Chris was a Penn State quarterback. You know that, right? I'm not kidding you.
It's overstated.
I didn't.
Yeah. Well, I was a tackling dummy, basically. Well,
listen, who was the coach back then?
That was Paterno was actually still there.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is the spring of '96. So towards the tail end of the Paterno regime, I'll say.
No kidding.
Do you know that my aunts, they both went to Penn State, big Penn Staters, and they were in the graduating class with
Joe Paterno?
No, the other one.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah.
Okay.
They found him in his yearbook, in their yearbook.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We'll leave that one.
Claim the fame.
We'll move on to that one. But having said that, The did you know Scott? So I coached a kid at Roman named Scott Paxson. He ended up, he was a defensive lineman. He ended up he went to Penn State. Must have been unbelievable to be on campus.
Yeah, it was a great college experience.
Oh my God,
it was a great college experience, and that's another thing. Yeah, I'm looking at. We've been really kind of spoiled that they were able to get all of our professional sports up and running and a lot of the college sports. But it is, I hope, you know, within the next several months, we can start to tick back up to normalcy. Because just like with the elementary kids missing their friends and missing their after school activities, kids that are in college are missing a big part of the college experience.
Right, the college experience and the high school experience.
Right.
I mean, you know, a lot of the sports are being postponed, and those are a big part of the educational process. So when, Robin, you sit there and you mention the emotional strain on this whole thing, my God. One of the things, Chris, we talked about during the break is how workers' compensation and the whole industry of workers' comp has been able to adjust.
For
you
sure.
And almost without skipping a beat. And interesting enough, a lot of areas of the law, like, for example, immigration law.
No, it's terrible.
Terrible, because it's all personal. So they've been hit so hard. Not much unlike just anybody's career. You didn't know if you were in the hospitality industry business. Like something's, you know, some people got demoshed, other people didn't. If you were into, if you work for Scott's Paper, you know, you're working overtime. If you're working at one of the big restaurants, you're not. In this particular situation, workers' comp has been able to adjust and to be able to utilize technology to represent your clients without almost skipping a beat. Talk about that.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate, and I like to tell people how fortunate our industry, our particular practice area has been, because it's been hard on everyone. But from our perspective, after that initial two-week shutdown, our leadership, both in Harrisburg and our local leadership, really did implement a system that, while it had some kinks that needed to be ironed out early, has really enabled judges to move their dockets along without great delay. And a judge moving their docket is what our clients need, because cases aren't stagnant. Cases are moving through the system. The workers' comp system, particularly when you have a denied claim, is something that can leave an injured worker without income for up to a year.
Oh.
So shutting that down for any period of time wouldn't have been an acceptable option.
Yeah.
So we've been fortunate that the Workers' Comp Bureau in Pennsylvania utilized the technology that they already had in place and implemented new technology with telephone hearings, video hearings. We haven't been in the courtroom. The last time I was in the courtroom, I think, was March 14th. I had a hearing up in Easton, and I remember thinking to myself, this might be the last hearing for a while, and I was right. But by the beginning of April, we were back in, at least virtually.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that your judges are administrative and not voted in?
I don't know if it's I think the fact that, as Joe alluded to earlier, with administrative law judges, which workers' compensation judges are, we're not dealing with jury trials.
Right.
So I think the logistics of having to hold a jury trial remotely are next to impossible. I don't know that the courts of common pleas have been able to implement any such thing. Perhaps arbitrations where you're dealing with lawyer panels, things like that, where there's a finite number of people that have to be involved, you could do it. I think the key to the success with our group is that we have a highly specialized bar. We have attorneys that tend to concentrate their practices in workers' mm-hmm. compensation. And obviously we have judges who are specifically workers' compensation judges. So the familiarity between the bench and bar, I think, has facilitated this transition, because you know who you're working with, you know who you're working against, you know who the judges that you're going are.
Yeah, you have a small, I mean, it's almost like a small town community.
It is. And I think that's been key in avoiding any major delays. You know, there, like I said, early on, was there a client who couldn't figure out how to get their camera on for a video hearing? Yes. You know, was there a problem with a microphone or a dog barking or a toilet flushing or whatever? All these things happen, but fortunately, everyone has taken this kind of, you know, as it comes. You know, judges have been understanding. If there's a client who's under a lot of pressure already and their camera doesn't work,
right,
in the pinch, you know, the judge is going to relist the case in a week. They're not going to bite their head off.
That's been really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, to me, what about like the experience of doing a deposition? Not only doing it, but the experience of doing a deposition by Zoom or video. From your perspective as a plaintiff's attorney, somebody who represents the injured, and also from the other perspective, what is the perspective of a defense attorney who can no longer sit in front of somebody's face and see them sweat?
Well, that's true. So some defense attorneys are really adamant about wanting to have some video component because it's important for them to be able to see how a claimant responds to a question in an effort to assess their credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And with doctors, the same kind of thing. You want to be able to see if the doctor's playing on his phone when he's answering you, or he's driving his car, or, you know, he's doing three other things while he's supposed to be devoting an hour of time. And then you get into simple challenges like there's a document that you may want to confront a doctor with, a particular medical record, that if you were sitting across the table from the doctor, you could show them the highlighted portion of the record that you want to discuss with them. When it's by phone, that's a little different. So again, you have to make sure everyone's on the same page going in, make sure everyone has the same paper. And sometimes you have to just take a break. Okay, I'm going to email this document to this doctor. So in lieu of the doctor rifling through 1,000 pages of paper, we'll take 2 minutes, get the document, they'll look at it, go off the record, go back on, and you move on. These are all things we've just had to learn to do.
What about the new normal, though? You know, so you're doing these things, you're doing them successfully, okay? And in some cases, so successfully that when, as we transition, you know, with the vaccine and all those things, coming in, and the fact that, you know, God willing, we'll get back to some sort of normalcy, which I'm, like you mentioned earlier, you know, with the weather changing and all that. At least, by the way, you know, thoughts and prayers to everybody in Texas, for crying out loud. Who saw that coming? But with the weather there, but some of these things have worked so successfully, like some of this technology, it might stick around. What do you foresee in that area?
Yeah, I think, and that's been a discussion. I'm in a leadership role with the workers' comp section in the Philadelphia Bar Association, and that's been an ongoing discussion between bench and bar, that certainly out of this, we've, out of necessity, developed some systems that certainly make sense to keep once we go back to in-person hearings. For example, I had a hearing in Pittsburgh at 11 a.m., and I was able to do that after successfully finishing a hearing in Philadelphia at 10 a.m.
What would you normally have done?
Well, first of all, being in Pittsburgh isn't something, you know.
It's a nice town.
I love Pittsburgh. I love Pittsburgh. Town. But obviously that was an extreme example. But it wouldn't be out of the ordinary to have court in Philadelphia in the morning and then, you know, a deposition in Reading in the afternoon or something
like that. And you would normally have to drive to those places?
Yeah, and that would be rather standard. And most firms have... Even sole practitioners have coverage attorneys that will help each other out in a pinch. And we, on a week-to-week basis, help each other out. If someone's got to be in one place at one time, obviously, you know, they'll get help from another attorney in the firm if they're expected to be somewhere else shortly thereafter. But the flexibility of being able to hang up one hearing at 10:15 and then regroup and be in the next place at 10:30 without breaking the sweat.
Incredible. Robin, what about the medical end? Obviously, after, you know, the kinks, you know, were you got through the obviously the remote communications and all, you're able to be very efficient as well. Anything you see sticking around?
I mean, maybe the remote, the telemedicine will stick around for those clients, those workers' comp clients who aren't on comp and have no transportation. They may stick around. You speak to, you know.
Well, a lot of your doctors are doing depositions with the attorneys.
Yeah, remotely. But that's not medical. That's on the legal end.
Yeah.
And you know, that could stick around. I don't think the doctors definitely want to get back to in-person, seeing the patients. There's nothing like touching a patient.
Oh, yeah.
For real. Seeing their face, seeing them wince or, you know.
Being able to truly judge their pain and their situation.
I mean, it's hard to judge somebody's pain over an iPhone. Well,
no doubt about it.
So, I mean, I think, and I also think for the doctors, they want to get back to some kind of normalcy where they are not working around the clock. Because unlike the attorneys, they have to stagger their patients. Like they were used to seeing 30 people a day. And people coming in and out of their waiting rooms. You know, we had Dr. Mark Recant on, and, you know, he's seeing people. They're only allowing 2 to 3 people in the waiting room.
It's amazing.
And you have to wait outside, and then they text you, and the next one comes in. I mean, it's...
And now your clients, some of your clients, Chris, are doing telemed, those that are, I mean, in other words, that those that are at high risk. I know some people, this is true, I know, and I know we all do, but I know some people who have not, you know, people who are at high risk, you know, in their 60s and have, you know, some conditions that would if they got COVID, it would be a problem, that haven't left their house, like literally haven't left their house. And so now you're dealing with, so you may have some high risk individuals. Robin, I know you're coordinating.
We have many high risk clients. We have clients that we didn't even know had pre-existing high risk conditions. And now we're finding out more than ever. We've had clients in the hospital for COVID. We've had clients, unfortunately, pass away. We've had clients that just are too afraid to treat because of their pre-existing conditions. So every day we're talking to the clients and trying to just make it a little bit simpler. Like, don't forget, there are many clients that have never been injured before. So the whole process of workers' comp is totally foreign to them. And now you compound it with COVID. Oh, yeah. And you got a scared client.
Oh yeah, there's no question. You know, Chris, you mentioned Pittsburgh. What I love about Pittsburgh is now, since 2018, between us, we have 8 Super Bowls. You know what I mean? I love it. You know what I mean? You come to PA, we have 8 Super Bowls between us. You know what? I said this the one time to a sports caster, you know, a radio guy. It's like having the difference between having 1 kid in 7 or 6 or 5, 4, 3 or whatever. If you want a child, if you have one, you can live with it. Okay. If you have 4, it's just, you have more. But if you really, you know what I mean? If there's a difference between no Super Bowls and 1 Super Bowl, I can now live with it. Okay. Even through the horrors of what's coming in Philly.
Wait a minute. Am I to understand that since we won 1 Super Bowl, life is better?
It's I can now watch the rebuild.
Okay.
Even though I don't like it. And the year afterwards, I was saying to everybody, well, you know, we won 1. I don't really care. I care. It's hard to watch a game, an Eagles game, where we're getting stomped. And it's a mess right now. But the entire time, at least I don't have to wait. And I don't have to sit there and go, I wonder what it's like to be them. You know, we had a pray. Now, I won it again, of course. But, you know, between us and Brady, we have 8 Super Bowls.
I'll take it.
Let's talk a little bit about we're talking about the mail, the stress that the clients go through trying to get their checks during COVID. We're going to have more from the Who's Who and Philly Labor Show after the break.
At any given moment, Somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Pinnacle Medical Plus is a full-service urine toxicology and durable medical equipment company serving patients throughout the continental United States. With over 25 years of industry experience, the professionals at Pinnacle Medical Plus provide high-quality services and products combined with excellent service at a reasonable price. On the urine toxicology side, Pinnacle is a trusted partner that provides the most up-to-date therapeutic drug monitoring technology. On the DME side, Pinnacle offers an extensive list of premium products along with priority delivery services. At Pinnacle Medical Plus, their number one goal is making sure their customers and patients receive the quality care and services they deserve. Contact Pinnacle Medical Plus for all of your urine toxicology and durable medical equipment needs at 888-396-8644 or online at www.pinnaclemedicalplus.com. Suffering a work injury or any type of personal injury can be a painful and traumatic experience. What can make it even more difficult for a patient is trying to navigate and find the quality medical care they need for their particular injury. Healthmark Enterprises is a full-service medical coordination and marketing company started in 1994 by CEO Robin Lewison that takes all the worry and complications out of treatment for a work or personal injury. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with a top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with the top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients, Healthmark Enterprises handles the entire treatment process for injured workers and those suffering personal injuries so they can just concentrate on getting better. Healthmark Enterprises believes that being injured should not limit one's access to great medical care. Now, more than ever, an injured person needs an advocate on their side. Contact Healthmark Enterprises at 215-563-1315. That's 215-563-1315. Healthmark Enterprises.
All right, I've gone through all the tracks, just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching up my first school dance takes confidence. So we're getting into college. I've got what it takes. Okay, I went through the practice sessions. I slept good. I feel good.
We will now begin the test. Please take out your pencils.
I got this.
We're all good at something. Maybe it's breakdancing or skateboarding or video games. Whatever you're good at, you had the skills to make it happen. And those same skills will help us get to college. Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
In May of 2000, Devo Karnakar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curbs, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver Zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show, sponsored by Robin Lewis and Healthmark Enterprises. Our guest today on the broadcast is Chris Fox of the law firm of Gross & Kenny. Lots to talk about. You know, such a new world. Thank God, we no snow or no ice on the ground. So at least hopefully, did the groundhog see his? Did he see his shadow? He did. So what does that mean? That he's six more weeks.
6 more weeks of winter.
That groundhog. Hasn't seen his shadow in forever.
I don't know. A producer, what do we got here? Did it happen or didn't it? Did it?
He saw a shadow? I think he needs glasses.
Who knows? But I know in Texas he saw it for damn sure. not just in Punxsutawney. So we're talking about the work comp system and how it's adjusted and how our outstanding workers' compensation attorneys like Chris Fox and Jeff Gross and Pat Kenny and the attorneys at Gross Kenny are able to represent their clients incredibly well. Robin Lewis and Healthmark Enterprises.
I've worked with Jeff Gross.
You know Jeff Gross?
I know, a little bit.
A little bit? You seen him around? We've seen Jeff around.
We've
done about 100 shows.
I think I met Jeff in 95.
When you were both 7 years old.
12.
12, and Chris was in college. I didn't realize you were that, you look like a young guy.
I was graduating from high school.
Really?
What high school, Chris?
I remember when
Springfield.
I remember when Patrick started, and I remember when Chris started. So.
Yeah, well, and the great thing is, one of the things you said at the beginning of the show, Chris, which I think is really telling and awesome, is the fact that the firm was able to it's a heavyweight, but still, boutique type of a firm. So you weren't holding so much weight that a lot of people have said by accident, because of the efficiency of the workers' compensation industry, the technology and firms like yourself, it was almost like you were preparing for something. Obviously you couldn't have foreseen this, but when it came, you guys were able to. What did it feel like to be able to, tell your staff and all that they're going to be able to live through this? And because everybody was scared, man.
Yeah, I think knowing that we were going to have to make sacrifices, knowing that we were going to adjust our workflow and style and have to figure out ways to keep things moving remotely, I think that was invaluable. That statement that Jeff made to all of us. There was a group email going around early on, and it was very reassuring. And I think when you want to get the most, obviously, out of your employees, it never hurts to remind them how important they are to you.
Yeah.
And how they're a part of a team.
Sure.
And I think Jeff was really good with doing that early on because a lot of other things people were worried about, obviously just general health with the pandemic. But being able to know that they were going to be getting their paychecks and the work would keep coming, I think was really important.
Yeah. And also at the same time, keeping them safe. Robin, you did the same thing.
I did. So I actually did it in person on the 13th with my staff. All of us in our office that I haven't seen in like months, but
I think I was there the one day when you were emptying it out. I mean, taking everything.
Oh, yeah. We did a meeting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the computers are gone. They're now with my staff. The phone system is dismantled. I mean, it's really sad because it was a beautiful office.
But you did what you had to do to keep your company together. And that's why we're very fortunate in the
I was very fortunate because my attorney advised me very early on to make sure that everyone works on my computer. And she was like, give them a chair. And if they have room, give them their desks.
Yeah.
Worry about it later. So, but we were remote before this because
we actually carried some boxes down from your office. I got the heavy box. I remember that. We just met like 2 weeks. Yeah, but I admire the way, you know, both organizations.
Well, we were remote before this, and I think Gross and Kenny were relieved and impressed that I had it all done. Not that I'm patting myself on the back, but
why not?
I had to be remote because of the job that we do. You know,
how do you know what I wondered? So companies like your both, you know, your firms and your company, Robin, you know, you talk about, like real estate, for example, real estate. Now, I don't think anybody's throwing fundraisers for people who own high-rise buildings, but at the same time, there's an area of business that is being taken a major hit. So now big firms might not take, you know, the entire floor. They may cut back a little bit, and you can now have, because you can have your staff work remotely, especially moving forward. But when you have new employees,
yeah,
it's kind of hard to start them off at working remotely, just human nature.
That just would be torture. But I marvel at the real estate agents. First of all, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of them already work remotely. But real estate boomed, just not in the cities.
Yeah.
They did fine.
Well, I'm talking about like the high rise buildings where I don't know how many tenants are law firms, but a lot of law firms.
They're empty. I mean, my building is only 10% full, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different. So it's just one of those areas. And yeah, Chris, we were talking about the clients, and I know obviously, you know, you didn't get where you're at by not accommodating your clients, not only representing them, but also having a good bedside manner. They're not only going through, you know, emotional issues with their injury and all that stuff, but also now COVID. But let's take it a step farther. The Postal Service and getting your checks, you know, that area has been hit very hard. And like Robin, you said, you see your mail carrier at sometimes 7 days a week. I see, you know, over the holidays, I was seeing my guy, Tommy.
Mine's Tom. Shout out to Tom.
Yeah, you're right. But the thing is, a lot of these individuals were, you know, a lot of people getting, you know, weren't getting their checks on time, and they were slowed up. Tell me about that type of stress.
Yeah, I think with the vast majority of employers, if you have an employee with a bank account, they're direct deposit, which obviously streamlines the process. But the workers' compensation industry, there are a number of carriers that do give the option of direct deposit, but there are many that don't. So that leaves our injured workers who are receiving a weekly or biweekly check literally watching the mailbox, hoping that their check comes. And with the backlog that came through the holiday season, I think I've gotten more calls from clients on late checks than anything else over the course of the last few months, because the months of December and January, there was just a tremendous backlog. And people were going a month or more without their checks. And obviously, you can't hold the carrier responsible if they're putting the check in the mail on schedule and it's just lost somewhere or delayed.
How many people in this room at this station got a Christmas card a month and a half late? Because I've gotten a couple that were sent, you know what I mean? And it's just...
My mail carrier said that...
They're overloaded.
Not only are they overloaded, but they have their own COVID issues in their, I guess, in their mail room, in the main postal building.
The sorting facilities.
Yeah. Yeah, the sorting facilities. Not the mail carriers, because they're outside most of the time, but the people inside. I mean, think of the close working conditions. So they had that. They had the overabundance of packages being sent. A lot of people send things by the United States Postal Service instead of FedEx or UPS. I mean, I know for a fact that FedEx...
How to mail in votes. Yeah. So, you know, so they've been pretty busy lately.
I mean, FedEx and UPS, they're outside of my building like twice, three times a day.
Right, because not only...
And on Sundays.
The standard, as Joe pointed out, you know, we have mail-in sorry, the mail-in ballots this year, the holiday rush. Then you have people that are doing almost all of their shopping on the internet. Online. And you have, hey, Amazon's subcontracting to the post office, or you don't know who's bringing what, but all you know is there's a lot more than there usually is, and it's causing unavoidable
delays. It's so interesting to say that, because I have heard that at least 75% of those, you know, Amazon packages, or at least QVC, are coming to my house.
I would look into that further.
I am going to, because my wife, you know, I can just say it's a problem.
I mean, Amazon and me, we're like this.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be throwing a fundraiser for Jeff Bezos. I know he's stepping down.
He's stepping down.
Yeah, stepping down. You know, it must be difficult to have that. He's not the first trillionaire, is he? Is he worth $800 billion or something crazy? We're going to need contributions. So, just kidding. No doubt. You know, this has been, you know, you take the mail for granted, and those guys are out there, you know, what do they call it? Rain, snow, sleet, whatever. But it's been a difficult time. I said this, and it trickles down when you're dealing with those, when somebody doesn't get their check. Okay. And I know you're doing a lot of things representing a lot of issues for individuals, particularly procedural. You get those calls also?
Yeah.
So it's a panic. Like, you know, oh my God, did they stop it?
Yeah, well, right. So, and you're in a predicament, because when you get a call from a client, essentially, if it's someone who's not in litigation, then I can go directly to the adjuster. But if it's someone who's in litigation, then I have to go to the attorney on the other side. The attorney has to go to the adjuster. The adjuster has to get back. So sometimes it could take 2 or 3 days just to go through that chain of communication. And if you determine that a check is lost or just delayed beyond repair, then you have to start a stop pay.
Right.
So even if it's dealt with as promptly and efficiently as possible, once it's called to your attention, you're looking at another week or two before the repair.
And in some cases, the check might have gotten delivered at that point.
Right. So, and that's, you know, that's kind of the balancing act. Well, do we wait one more day to see if it shows up, or do we stop? Because once you stop pay, then that check's void, and here we go again.
Chris, you know, I wanted to ask you, because I've noticed this in the months that we have been working remotely. I see an uptake in the adjuster wants and desires. I mean, like never before. And the things that they want, the reports that they want, the things that they're asking for, I feel like they would have never asked, or it would have never been an inclination unless they were sitting at home during a pandemic. I really do.
Yeah, I mean that, and we were talking about this a little bit before we came on air. Each adjuster has their own style, and you know, maybe that's amplified when they're sitting at home versus in a cubicle next to three other adjusters where there's that groupthink phenomenon.
Right. Well, it could go either way. There are people at home that just can't get focused. And then other people that are just, they're probably going through all kinds of billable hours. I think some of the defense attorneys are good question. So you're by the way, for our listeners, you're listening to the Who's Who and Fully Labor Show, sponsored by Robin Lewis and Healthmark Enterprises. Having said that, Chris, our guest is Chris Fox of Gross County. Chris, you're a certified work comp specialist. And you mentioned earlier that in your area, it's a highly specialized area of the law. So it's like going to a doctor who's, it's an orthopedic surgeon. You're not going to get your
subspecialty.
Yeah, exactly. But you also, you know, cut your teeth, you know, working like a lot of great attorneys work in defense and understand. Does that help you be able to explain to your clients a little bit about what the process is and understanding, that mindset?
Yeah, I think it definitely does, because you have to really try to anticipate. For example, when you're preparing someone for a deposition, you have to anticipate what the other side's going to ask to adequately prepare them. So you have to, in that situation, put on your defense attorney hat. You also need to understand what could be motivating a defense attorney to move a file, not move a file. You talk about billable hours. You know, if you're going to be pessimistic, you may think that once a defense attorney gets involved, they're going to want to bill the file a little bit and make some money. The busier ones, that's not really a problem for, because if they settle a case, they know the next one is behind door A. Right. But there's certainly that factor that comes into play. And during COVID, I've talked to a lot of my colleagues on the defense side. And while me having a hearing in Philadelphia at 10 and in Pittsburgh at 11 and being able to do them from my kitchen table is a blessing for me, but that's a big loss on the defense side. They've lost a lot of billable hours just by virtue of having to
transport,
do things remotely.
Yeah.
I mean, the travel time is a big part of that model. So I'm sure that that's hit them in the pocketbook.
So listen, we got about a minute and a half left. If you would tell our listeners, give your contact information out to your listeners, anybody's looking for a workers' compensation attorney.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, Robin and Joe. Again, my name is Chris Fox, and I'm with the law firm of Gross & Kenny. You can reach me by email at cfox@gk-wcl.com. I also do post my cell phone number for quick access. I'll try to get back to you as soon as humanly possible on my cell phone. It's 610-213-2826.
Robin Lewison, Healthmark Enterprises.
Healthmark Enterprises. Call 215-563-1315. And because of the pandemic, if we don't answer, please leave a message and we will get back to you as soon as possible.
Awesome. Well, listen, Chris, another one in the books. Fantastic show. Appreciate everything you're doing out there, representing your clients, Dorn, and being able to, you know, get through the minutia of COVID and without skipping a beat. So job well done.
Thank you, Chris.
Absolutely, Robin. Thanks for making it happen and a fantastic show. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. I want to thank our sponsor, Robin Lewison, Healthmark Enterprises, and of course, on behalf of Robin, our guest Chris Fox of Gross Kenny. My name is Joe Dougherty. Thanks so much for listening.